Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Joining us now from Bangkok, Mike Raumanachai, a freelance journalist who has been looking and following the protests over the past few days. Mike, welcome back to Weekend Mornings. What's the latest on the protests there?
So yesterday, as you mentioned, there's been some protests. There's been the protests across the country, but the three main protest sites are in Bangkok. So the protest decided to divide, you know, the protest site into several points in Bangkok. I think the most prominent one was in Lat Pha intersection, which is actually one of the largest intersection that for you to just to go to, you know, some other provinces. And that is a different strategies compared to the previous 3 days, as you know, because, you know, they just decided to do this. So then, you know, the police could not catch up with them. And so for today, there has been any announcements about the protests. But for yesterday, it ended peacefully around 7:30. That's what's happening yesterday.
On with Mike Raumanachai, freelance journalist in Bangkok, talking about the Thai protest. Mike, I read and I understand from the news reports that yesterday on Saturday, there was a lighter touch, if I can put it that way, by the police. On Friday, we saw water cannon being used and batons and truncheons coming in toward the protesters. But yesterday, it seems like much of that was largely gone, that they were more or less just letting the protesters express themselves and get on with that. Is that your understanding as well?
I think my understanding is because the strategies that the protesters use, you know, so instead of having just one big location, they decided to divide it into, you know, half a dozen locations across Bangkok. So it's really hard for the police to actually, you know, get all the equipment into one place. So I think that is actually more of the accurate observations that I have.
I see. Okay. The protests have been largely along two tracks. That is, one protesting the government of Prime Minister Prayut, and the other is to have a look at what's going on with the monarchy, the power and the purse strings that the monarchy holds. Does it seem like the protesters are getting any traction with either of those two arguments now that we've not just been seeing protests for the last 4 days, but for months now?
Yeah, I think they can actually gain a lot of tractions. The more people learn about this, I think the more people understand the reason behind, the economic situations behind the inequality of justice, inequality of a lot of things, and I think it's because of the news. I think because of the power of social media is also very important, is that a lot of Thai people actually be able to get the news from a lot of sources. So then they have a better understanding of what is actually happening, especially with the elite and the people with power, which sometimes they didn't have a chance to know, or sometimes they've been blocked, or they've been, you know, some kind of misunderstanding or misbelief. And I think that's actually the power of social media has actually take a very big role in this process.
Mike, if we look at just one issue first, if we look at the government and the calls for the prime minister to step down, how in a practical way would that actually happen? What would have to happen? Who would call for that change? And, you know, this is what the protesters want, but how could it actually be implemented?
I think, you know, when you look at the parliamentary system, you know, it's very similar to a lot of countries, is that actually the prime minister can resign, you know, if he wanted to, or they could get a vote in the parliament, you know, for the prime minister or they could also be, you know, a vote on the parliaments to do a constitution reform. So I mean, in the typical parliamentary system, that should work, but I think But as you know, all the senators, you know, all the Senate seats been chosen by the military. So that is really, really difficult for anything to actually pass because you know, the power in the Senate's been controlled by the military to begin with. So even if the opposition parties or the coalition opposition parties are majorities in, you know, in the House of Representatives, it's not gonna work when they go to the Senate, right? So it's just that to begin with, this Constitution doesn't have any room for change, and that's why that's one of the demands. I think even the more important demands to me, you know, not just to ask the Prime Minister to resign, but I think the constitutional reform is actually even much more important to me.
And does there seem like there is an appetite for that within the Parliament? I mean, are there other lawmakers that want to see that change happen as well that can push for it from within the system?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some movements, even from the Democrat Party, which is a bit more leaning towards the government. They also think that there actually should be a room to change this. But I think, as I said, you know, at the end of the day, because the system is actually rigged from the beginning, it's just that, you know, there should be. They are still trying to find ways, but I think probably one of the demands of the protesters is actually to get rid out of the Senate seats. So just have the House, the House of Representatives, similar to UK.
And when we look at the reform that's being asked for as it relates to the monarchy, is that a similar process? Is that a similar situation right now in terms of where it's at and what would need to happen to make those changes?
Yeah, exactly. I think the Article 112 is the one that's been a lot of criticism, you know, the Lese Majeste law. I think that is one of the key issues in the Constitution that the protesters also demanded to be able to criticize the royal families, the monarchy, because, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, that the monarchy, you know, it's supposed to work for the people because you know, we pay all the tax money to them, and but doesn't mean that they wanted to get rid of all of the royal family or the monarchy. It's more that, you know, they should be able to work for the people, and they should be to get the public criticism just like any developed countries. Just like Japan, just like the UK, just like many countries in Europe that have, you know, that the monarch that still have the monarchies still exist, but can can actually live and do what they're supposed to do in the modern day.
Yeah, Mike, we know that this is an ongoing process, and hopefully the people will be heard in whatever way is makes sense for Thailand, and progress will move forward so that things can get back to normal if there is in fact a normal these days in Thailand.
Yeah, when I look at this, I just feel like the protest is probably going to go on for a while. I don't see any end of this very soon. They might not be protests every day, but there will. I think until you know the parliament, the politicians listen to the people, listen to these, you know, young people on the street, that, you know, they should actually think about this, because I think for me, when I look at these, I think all of these conditions can be met if we just all they have to do is just to listen.
And sometimes we know that can be a little bit of a problem, can't it, with a lot of governments? But we will see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. But I think most of the time it's actually happened with authoritarian regimes. I sometimes couldn't believe that it happened here.
Yeah. Mike, thanks so much for your time. Mike Raumanachai, a freelance journalist based in Bangkok, talking to us. Another update on the Thailand protest. Thanks for being with us, Mike.
Thank you, Glenn.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.